This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You need surgery.
Bisexuality.
The best of both worlds.
Triple bypass.
Triple bypass on Joy 94.9.
Yes, it is Joy 94.9. You're on Triple Bypass for another Tuesday evening. That was Alicia Champion with Bi, and I'm Anthony.
I'm Ruby.
And I'm James.
And welcome to another show.
Welcome, guys. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Oh, you weren't saying that to me. You were welcoming the listeners.
I was saying it to all bi people.
He made eye contact with me while he said welcome. I thought it was all about
welcome
me.
Back, James, from your New Zealand trip.
It's a small studio. Welcome back, James. It's great to have you back. And I love that song. It's so good.
Well, we've got a lot of great songs that we play on this show, a lot of bi-related.
There's quite a few of them.
Getting our bi-anthems, a database of bi-anthems.
That's right. We might start putting it up on the Facebook page if you guys want to check them out. But I know it's always nice to hear music that you can directly relate to and be like, hey, that song's about people like me.
Yeah, that's right. And we do play a lot of songs that people like us here at Joy 94.9 mm-hmm. and here at Triple Bypass. We try and play as many Aussie and queer artists as possible. So if you are out there and you want us to play a queer and Aussie artist, give us a text.
Yeah, please. How can they text us, Anthony?
Well, people can get involved in all sorts of ways. They can text us on 0427 Joy 949. That's 0427 569 949. You can email us at onair@joy.org.au.
Hooray. And you can also find us on Facebook at Triple Bypass on Joy and on Twitter.
Yep, you can tweet us at Triple Bypass.
And we'd love you guys to get involved tonight because we've got a few interesting topics coming up.
We so have. We're going to talk about our old mate Kinsey. Kinsey.
Ah, Kinsey.
Alfred. The other bisexual Freddy.
He kind of like coined the idea of sexuality. Well, not he was one of the first people to really come forward and say it's ridiculous to think people sexuality is just all or nothing for anyone. But yeah, and we're going to be talking about him. We're going to be talking about the scale, and we're going to be talking about when we realize how we fall on it throughout our lives, and how that's been, and what we've been able to find around us that's like helped us realize that. You know, the crushes were real.
Yeah.
I've got an awesome story about a crush I had. Well, I have had many celebrity crushes, and I still do. They continue, those crushes. But
I think they last forever. Like, I'm pretty sure people have crushes on celebrities until they die.
Well, two crushes I have are on two deceased people.
Well, yeah, look, I mean, that just seems like you're just setting yourself up for a whole lot of disappointment. No. Not that celebrity crushes aren't already.
It began when they were alive, okay?
What are you saying that we're setting up for disappointment? Me and David Wenham, it's totally going to happen one day.
Well, I think Anthony would need a Ouija board. Do you like me? He said yes. He said yes. The glass moved.
They always say yes.
But yeah, I suppose first to talk about famous bisexuals. Alfred Charles Kinsey was an American biologist, and he was a professor of entomology and zoology and a sexologist. He actually founded the Institute for Sex Research at Indiana University. He was also very bisexual. He married a woman, but they had an open relationship, and he slept with many people and documented a lot of it for science, apparently. But the Kinsey scale is also called the heterosexual homosexual rating scale, and it was used in research to describe a person's sexual orientation based on their experiences. And he introduced it in published reports in Sexual Behaviour of the Human Male in 1948.
So was he, I mean, sexologist and zoologist, what was he called when he published the Kinsey scale?
Well, he was really into bugs originally.
Yeah.
His real specialty to start off with was that he was studying lots of rare and strange insects. And then he just found that people had all these questions about sex, and he was like, we should know this as a scientist. That offended him, that there were all these things about our own sexuality that we just didn't know, and people would ask these questions and the experts would say, I don't know.
No one wants to research that. That's because the idea was if you research sex, you were a pervert.
Right. Think about the time he was writing.
Yeah,
as well.
this was some hyper-conservatism. In fact, he actually came up with a Kinsey scale when he was watching wasp mating patterns.
Wasps. Do you mean the insects or the
insects? No, not the white Anglo, so, you know, white Anglican. But yeah. So he actually, and when he introduced the scale, he wrote, it's a bit of a quote. Males do not represent two distinct populations, heterosexual and homosexual. The world is not divided into sheep and goat. It is a fundamental of taxonomy that nature rarely deals with discrete categories. The living world is a continuum in each and every one of its aspects. While emphasizing the continuity of the gradations between exclusively heterosexual and exclusively homosexual histories, it has seemed desirable to develop some sort of classification which could be based on the relative amounts of heterosexual and homosexual experience or response in history. So an individual may be assigned a position on this scale for each period in his life. So basically, they didn't actually have the word bisexual then, I think. Mm. Or if it was, it wasn't being used in polite circles. No. So it was all about falling on a scale between heterosexual and homosexual. And
this was back at a time when, I mean, even homosexuality was seen as a psychological disorder. It was referred to as psychosexual inversion and stuff like that, where basically there was normal, and for some reason you had something wrong that inverted you. And then that was where this idea of the...
That was Freud, wasn't it?
I don't know, maybe.
Well, didn't Freud describe homosexuality as an unresolved Oedipus complex?
No, that was heterosexual. That was generally... he thought that everything was to do with which parent you wanted to have
to
relations
shag.
With. Yeah, yep. To shag.
Old Freud. It's like, yes, bowl of cornflakes for breakfast. Ah, yes, that is about the penis.
He was brought up by his stepmother, by the way.
Oh, dude had issues. He had serious issues. But yeah, so the Kinsey scale is 0 is exclusively heterosexual. So the hets are zeros. I'm not sure if that was deliberate or not. 1 is predominantly heterosexual with only incidental homosexuality.
Love that.
2 is predominantly heterosexual but more than incidental homosexual. And 3 is equally heterosexual and homosexual, which we would recognize now as
Ta-da.
Bisexuality. Woo! 4, predominantly homosexual but with more than incidental heterosexuality. 5, predominantly homosexual but only incidental heterosexuality, and 6 is exclusively homosexual, and he also had X, which is no sociosexual constructs or reactions. So,
which is really interesting. Yeah. I didn't know about the X. I didn't know about Kinsey X until I was reading up on this topic for this show.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, wow. Even though he didn't have a name for it, asexuality was... He already recognised it, and it was being talked about back in the 40s, which I think is amazing. So people who... You know, asexuality cops a bit of flack at times, I think, and... I think it's really interesting. It's like, well, Alfred Kinsey thought it was real 60 years ago, so...
Yeah.
Right. And he got that from bugs.
Yeah, those
yes,
wasps.
That he planted in people's bedrooms.
We have a lot to thank wasps for, apparently. So thanks, guys. You're the evil bees of the universe. They don't give us honey. They just sting, and they can do it more than once. I'm sorry. They are assholes. Anyway, so Alfred Kinsey is a famous bisexual, and we'd like to just... have a moment to say thanks, buddy. He's been dead for a while, but you know.
Bye.
But yeah, so the scale, I think, was kind of one of the terms I've heard of. And James, you mentioned that it's used quite it was originally used very scientific.
Well, that's the thing. Old Freddy was a scientist, and scientists like what they can observe, what they can record, and it was intended as a scientific tool. Rather than a way for people to identify. I mean, as it turned out, it was a really empowering thing, and a lot of people were like, yes, scientists say that there is a spectrum, that there really is an in-between, and there's perhaps more of an in-between than there is an extreme at either end.
Mm.
But when it comes down to actually describing people, you know, those sorts of tools, they always break down. The more specific you get, the less effective they are.
Well, because we're more complicated than that. But I understand at the time, to be taken seriously, he needed to speak a hard science language.
I mean, he loved the science. It was all about the science for him.
Right.
Those damn bugs.
Yes. He was projecting a lot in his work.
They always are.
Well, if you want to project with us, feel free to do so by texting us on 0427 Joy949. Send us an email tonight on air at joy.org.au. Tell us who your celebrity bi crush is. Or let us know what you think of our mate Kinsey.
Yeah, when did you realise you were maybe more of a 3 than a 0 or a 6?
And we're going to go to a break, so stick around and we'll be back with more Bi Stuff right after this.
Hey, we're the Veronicas, and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
You are. In fact, it's Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9, and you're here with Anthony.
And Ruby.
And James.
And we're here with lots of bisexual stuff for you guys on the Bisexuality Show on Joy.
That was a beautiful song, Ruby. Who was that?
That was Troy Sivan, who's a queer Australian, and that song was Heaven. We've just put it up on the Facebook page, I think.
On the Twitter.
I can put it on
Facebook if you like.
That one too. So you can check it out. The video clip's amazing. It's got all this vintage footage of gay couples, same-sex couples throughout, from back in the earliest they got is the 60s, but all this really amazing footage, and it's just a great song. He's quite young, and he's been, his career's picking up a lot, and his sexuality become quite a big part of his career. And I thought it was, given we're going to be talking about crushes, I thought it was interesting to look at the idea that for some people, when they first realize that, especially if you're bisexual and already were comfortable in knowing that you were attracted to the opposite sex, when you realize that maybe that's not all there is to it, and the kind of the fear that can really come with that. And that being said, we're here to help dispel all of that. But yeah, the fact that it can be quite an intense thing to realize that, it's a big life-changing moment, I think, when you start to have those realizations.
It's such a visceral experience. I remember it being so intense because I became very aware of myself all of a sudden and what this meant. And because it was happening for the first time and it was a very unfamiliar place, it was, I think, mixed for me with a lot of excitement as well as fear, because I did even then realize I could actually keep this private.
Yeah, I guess for me, I was really, when I was first kissing a girl, I was very much playing we're just really good friends. I know we joke about they're just gals being pals, and this idea of female friendship being and female relationships being constantly mistaken for each other because girls are allowed a greater degree of physical intimacy than men are today. But I was just like, no, we're just friends. I'm just doing it because it's fun, and we're both having fun. And
how far does that excuse take you?
It didn't go very far, but that being said, given I was pretty, I thought I was totally fine with, but I knew I wasn't gay because I liked boys. So I was just kind of like, I'm not sure what's happening, and I'm not sure if I want to have to deal with this,
Right.
And that was a big part of it. I didn't want to talk to people. I didn't tell people about it because I just wasn't sure if it was something I should be trying to pin down, or if it was something I could just kind of hope would pass.
Right.
Like a kind of phase.
Almost like it was. That phase has lasted 10 years and counting.
Well, I had the fun experience where I sort of approached it like a little baby Kinsey. Like I was 23 when I realized I was bi, and it was just one of those things where I sort of went, oh my goodness, I've looked at some gay male porn and I liked it. Now, let me just check the straight porn again. I definitely still like that too. And it was literally just, okay, so by a process of logical elimination, I must be not a zero or a six. I am somewhere between one and five.
I wish I'd known about the Kinsey scale, which we were talking about during the first, when I was 16 and going through this, because it would have helped a lot. Also, James was saying while we were listening to that song, there's a movie.
There is a movie.
With Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson.
From Taken.
And he doesn't punch or shoot anybody.
Is he Kinsey?
He is Alfred
really?
Kinsey.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. That's very exciting.
And Peter Sarsgaard and a really fantastic actress whose name I've forgotten is Mrs. Kinsey. Really, really good film.
Do they mention the word bisexual in the movie?
They definitely... He has sex with Peter Sarsgaard, so, they definitely don't shy away from that.
Well, no, but I guess that's the interesting thing, though. Do they actually at one ever point ever say, I'm not gay or straight?
Right, naming it.
Do they name it? Because... Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Because, yeah.
It's been a while. It's been a few years.
I should check it out.
I haven't.
Movie night, Anthony.
Well, I'm up for that kind of movie because I like to think of the context as well. And I think what a trendsetter he was, writing at a particular time about bisexuality, even if he didn't use that specific word.
Yeah.
He was paving the way. I mean, he was making it more okay for us at this end of the Kinsey time frame.
Right. As we sit there kind of somewhere in the middle, floating around a bit. It's pretty amazing. I really do think, when I looked at the, so when he published the book where the Kinsey scale is first mentioned, 1948, that was not a, That was well before the sexual liberation, you know, yeah. Like that was some old school. That and was like, you know, really, that was Godel era.
Yeah. And it's really interesting as well because I think he even though it was controversial, but it was a massive bestseller. It sold so many copies. It was
they
ridiculous.
They both did because he wrote one a few years later about the female sexuality as well.
But he really approached it from a very serious academic viewpoint. And I think that sort of made him a little bit immune to serious criticism. I think a few people wanted to say, "Oh, you know, this is filthy, this is obscene, it should be banned."
I think they did.
As far as I know, it never really was. There was some specific criticisms and some valid criticisms of some of the way that he worked.
So you're saying it like that? Those criticisms have stopped.
Oh no.
No.
I mean, there are some questions about how some of his data was gathered, and they're like, generally speaking, scientists shouldn't be including themselves in their experiments, which he did a little bit of.
Or people they know, or their students who they're sleeping with.
Yeah.
Some
mild ethical questions there.
Didn't Coke do did Coke? Didn't Freud do coke as a he used to give it to his clients?
To be fair, that stuff was like in soft drink.
Yeah.
So it was in you know, you could find a lot of medications that we now consider to be very serious in really common over the counter headache tablets and stuff like that for kids.
Yeah, right.
Can you let's not think about having kids. But yeah, I think the reason I was asking if they actually mentioned the word bisexual is because one of our dear listeners, Jade, sent us a pretty great article this week about bisex representation in television and why it kind of still sucks. So I thought maybe we could have a bit of a chat about that. There are a few issues with how bisexual people are represented on television. And one of the biggest is definitely the fact that they won't say the damn word.
Yeah.
Right. Have we heard the word anywhere?
Yes.
Where is it being
said? Okay, so listeners, you may have heard a song we've played a few times called Gettin' By from a TV show called Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Oh, yes.
And that has one of my favourite bisexual characters of all time, Daryl Whitefeather. And he actually goes through his understanding of being bisexual as a man in his 40s because he becomes attracted to a young guy who's like, "Oh, I was picking up a gay vibe." He's like, "I was married. I've had a kid. I am not gay." And so he really gets quite upset about this. And then he's at a Zumba class. And it's like, you're talking about James. He's like, you know, checking out like a girl bending over. He's like, "Yeah, guy, yeah." And he's just like looking between them being like, "Yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah." And then as everyone leaves, they're like, "Bye, bye, 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 bye."
The universe is speaking to him.
And at first he doesn't want to talk about it. And then the guy he's seeing is just like, "I'm not going back in the closet, man. Not for you or for anybody." And so he sings a song about it at work. And, you know, so they get the word out there. And he mentions, and I think this show actually makes a big point of mentioning it, but it is one of the few.
Yeah.
And we do have that clip on our Facebook page, don't we?
We definitely do. And if not, we'll probably post it up there again and we'll definitely play the song again at some point. It's an anthem. It is like, it's a very clever song. I wish we were playing it tonight. But yeah, and it does like, but he's one of the few. I think there are a few others. Kelly Torres from Grey's Anatomy, you see her sleep with, she has a relationship with a man, then she falls in love with a woman and doesn't really know what to do about it. Then, you know, and they're kind of, and it's interesting because they're quite open about them trying to figure out how to have sex with each other, given they have not had sex with other women before, which is, you know, again, quite unusual.
Right.
And then there's also Kalinda Sharma, who's a private investigator in The Good Wife. But again, they don't really use the word bisexual for her. You just see her aggressively pursuing women and then aggressively pursuing men.
And Lost Girl. I mean, I know she's not actually human. She's a succubus or something.
Half.
But she's portrayed fairly positively as bisexual.
Do they use the word?
I don't know if they use the
word.
Okay.
Well, some people think that we're non-human too. But anyway, we're going to come back to discuss that some more. We're talking Kinsey and we're talking about bi crushes. So do get involved. 0427JOY949. On air at joy.org.au is a way to email us. We are going to be right back, so stick around.
Hello, this is Margaret Cho, and you're tuned in to Joy 94.9 and listening via the Joy app.
Thanks, Margaret.
Thank you, Margaret Cho. This is Joy 94.9 Triple Bypass, and I'm Anthony.
I'm Ruby.
And I'm James.
And that was Sweet Design by Sia. And if you want to listen to Margaret Cho on Triple Bypass, go to the joy.org.au/triple bypass.
Because we got to interview her.
Yes, you'll check out the podcast.
My voice is quite high-pitched. I was very excited. She's a pretty cool bisexual lady. Yes, she is. So before we went on that break, we were chatting about our crush, like our first, like kind of our feelings around having our first same-sex crushes. We're talking about Kinsey and his amazing Kinsey scale and how evolutionary that was, as far as saying it's not all homosexual, it's not all heterosexual, there's a whole lot in between. And then I think we're also talking, we begin talking about some of, well, my, I got them out, but my favourite bisexual characters on television and how much, and how even then only a few of them have actually ever been identified on television as bisexual.
Yeah.
It's not a common word.
Did you have that thing where you were first sort of coming to terms with the bisexuality, where you got a very clear idea in your head of what it was and how it worked, and then something came along that just went, oh, wait, oh, no, okay, clearly I was completely wrong.
Well, that's what it was when I liked a girl. I was like, oh, man, I thought, because I'd had some intense crushes on guys, so I was like, I am very clearly, like into guys. And I was like, wait, hold on a second. Just hold on a second. I'm into this too. Oh, God, my worldview, what is happening? And even though people use the word bisexual, it was still, even, like, you know, it was still considered, like, this thing that people, especially girls, did for attention.
Mm-hmm.
So there was kind of like, even, and I said, like, I was using the word by the time I was like, you know, I'm dating someone, I'm going to use the word. I used it with a lot more confidence than I felt.
But I had this idea, because like I said, I was in my mid-20s when I actually came to terms with my bisexuality. But I thought I came to terms with it really easily and had it very clearly in my head. And I thought, okay, so I respond really visually to women, but I'm sort of new to guys, so I'm sort of, it's more of a, I don't know, a sort of a maybe a mental or emotional connection with men. I don't really respond visually to men at all. And then I saw David Wenham doing the Aussie crime comedy drama things where he plays Murray Whalen.
What was the show?
The first one's called Stiff and the second one's called The Brush Off. They're very, very Melbourne. So very Melbourne. And, he just plays this very sarcastic, smart-ass sort of amateur detective who solves a couple of murders. And I just saw him in that and just went, okay.
Visual, visual
clearly,
too.
Clearly I do have some kind of visual response to men after all. They just have to be the right man. And David Wenham is the right man.
Right. Well, my right man was Jim Morrison from The Doors. I remember being in my teens, and my older brother's a musician. He's played guitar for a number of bands over the years, and he used to put on a lot of old 70s metal, a bit of Sabbath, Led Zeppelin, and occasionally he'd play The Doors. And then I'd look at the covers, and then he had these a few clips we'd watch, and I just remember seeing, I have this visual of his ass in leather pants, and just thinking, yeah, I don't know, is that on a guy? That was very new to me because I'd only noticed my attraction to women. But yes, no, that image is still with me.
The old Lizard King, he was a very beautiful man. He was classically beautiful. So that's an understandable response for somebody to have.
I think one of mine first was in a video game, which does happen, and it wasn't Princess Peach. That was the first major game I played. But I remember my friend talking about how she found Zelda really pretty. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't really... So Zelda from the game series, Zelda, who is the princess, not the guy in the green hat who runs around. Common mistake. But Zelda is a beautiful blonde princess, and I suppose because I'd mostly seen her in quite chunky graphics, I hadn't really thought about it. Then I, like, you know, saw some really beautiful drawings. I was just like, yeah, really beautiful. But I just kind of saw it as being appreciative. And it wasn't until I'd, like, you know, actually had an experience, I was like, oh, that was, I mean, it was appreciation. It's just, it was a lot of appreciation. But, you know, I just thought I just really, really liked them. I just thought they were really, really pretty. And I still thought they were really, really pretty. Just in a more of like, we could be pretty together. Let's get married, Zelda.
Well, I totally had, I know that feeling because my, and who this person will remain nameless just in case he ever listens to this, but he was one of my very good friends in grade six, and I remember getting butterflies in my stomach every time he'd walk into the room or when we'd hang out together, and I just thought he was, I used to see him as this special person in the world, like this, he's amazing, and you know, I like his hair and his eyes and the way he looks and the way he speaks. And this is, and I'm in grade six. I haven't sexualized anything
yet.
You
just think they're your best friend.
Yes.
You just want to be, I had that with a, yeah, I remember I had like a best friend in year five and I always wanted to like, you know, be her buddy on camps and stuff like that. And I loved spending time in her company and listening to her talk and making her laugh. And, you know, I had a few friendships like that. And you look back, you're just like, oh, girl, you were crushing
totally.
So hard.
Totally.
Yeah, hindsight is 2020. But I see that as one of the frustrating double standards, though, mm-hmm. where any kind of same-sex attraction is like, oh, you're not old enough to know that. You know, you can't know that for sure. But when, you know, like a toddler, you know, like a little boy who can't even speak yet is like going blah, 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 blah with a little girl who also can't even speak yet. People will go, oh, look, he's got a girlfriend already.
Right.
And they'll openly chat about that. If, you know, two little toddler girls talk, you know, anyone would think you were weird if you said, right. Oh, look, they've
yeah.
found girlfriends
right.
for each
well,
other.
I think it's because there's always this kind of big sexual aspect placed on it. My friend was saying, so her daughter's part of like a playgroup and one of her daughter's best friends is turning two, but the mum's only having a boys' party. Mm. I was like, they're two. What are they going to do? Like, what could they possibly, what could you be worried about?
Yeah.
Like, this isn't like some like, you know, teenagers who are going to sneak off into the closet. Mm. These are toddlers.
So those messages start early
yeah.
about what's okay and what's not okay, isn't it? So
they do. And I think that's why crushes can be scary. And also why it's like, you know, it can be difficult when you don't get to see people on television going through those same things. Because I remember when I was watching TV, I didn't have crushes on the female characters because they were all very clearly straight, like really obviously straight. And they were usually fighting with the other girl characters about the boys.
Right.
And it wasn't until, like, you know, even now it's getting a bit better where you see characters that are more, like, have deeper connections with each other, but they still don't ever identify. And so there's that kind of sense of just, like, the sexuality being expunged from television because it's not seen as valid enough to even be worth mentioning.
And the funny thing is that then the corollary of that is that when they do, it almost seems like tokenism or it seems like they're trying too hard and it seems like it's, like, this symbolic thing. Like, when... the trainee Dr. 13, played by Olivia Wilde on House, she explicitly says that she's bisexual, but she's sort of in the scene where she does it sort of to embarrass somebody because they made an assumption about her and she wants to embarrass them for making an assumption. And it is established later in the series that she definitely is bisexual and they're not afraid of sort of talking about it. Yeah, it's like it shouldn't really be shocking. It should just be... you know, part of the characters, who they are.
And one person that I felt made it okay on television, like I was obsessed with Sex and the City and I really liked Samantha because she came out and said, she said to I can't remember who, she was talking to Carrie and said that it's not about sexual orientation anymore, it's about sexual expression. And that was the first, and I was watching that, you know, when I was still sort of working through my own sexuality and I kind of really liked her for saying that. I felt like there was sort of permission to sort of get rid of having to feel sort of constrained and sexual expression felt really fluid
but
and open.
I suppose the thing is but the idea of sexuality is not just about sexual expression. You know, it's about who you form connections with. And Samantha, yeah. I think I remember, I didn't watch the show religiously, but I do know that she had a relationship with a woman and there was a lot of talk about their sex life.
Yeah.
But it's never mentioned again after she doesn't date her anymore. Like, it's not like she realises that she's also attracted to women.
She got over her phase.
Yes,
sweep,
exactly. Sweep. And again, it was all about just the sex. And I know everything about it's called Sex in the City, of course.
Yeah.
Like, you know, but this idea of like, it's about sexual expression. So it's like, well, she enjoys having sex with women, but she was in a relationship with that woman.
Yeah. And I reckon that's how she took it. I think the others and, you know, we were talking about her like she was a real person, but this was really symbolic. And
it was written by a gay man.
Right. But
the entire show, just in case anyone's thinking it was some kind of like, you know, it was a gay man's interpretation of women's sexuality.
Right, right. Okay, well, there you go.
And then there's the straight man's interpretation of women's sexuality in Chasing Amy. Like, I like Chasing Amy as a film, but as a bisexual, it pisses me off so much.
Wasn't it just like convincing a lesbian to...
No, she's a lesbian who quite honestly falls in love with a man, but... They never even suggest that bisexuality even exists. She's a lesbian in love with a man, and then it all ends in tears, and she goes back to being exclusively lesbian, and just like,
right,
Kevin, I love you dearly, but bisexuality exists, and that's not his first time he's done it. He's had a few films where he's neglected to recognise the existence of bisexuality.
Well, we're going to continue to acknowledge the existence of bisexuality here. We've been talking about Kinsey, who kind of started us off. And we're talking about bi crushes and our own crushes on people who, whether they were bi or not, were really important to us. So,
and what it's like as a bisexual person, because often your first recognisable crush on someone of the same sex happens after you've established that you like the opposite gender.
Right.
So it's would you say that's true?
Yeah, totally.
So generally, you know, just because of the fact that society is heteronormative, it's much easier to recognise a crush on someone of the opposite sex for what it is.
Yes.
While, and when that's been recognised, recognising that you also like the same gender, it's so complicated, guys. That's why it's taking a lot to talk about.
Yeah, it's a combination of feelings and experiences.
So many feelings.
So stick around. We'll keep talking about this, and you're on Joy 94.9. This is Triple Bypass.
Hi, this is Dolly Diamond. Joy 94.9. It's my ninth favourite radio station.
You are on Joy 94.9. This is Triple Bypass with Anthony,
Ruby
and James.
And you were listening to earlier the Australian edit version of Tilted by Christine and the Queens.
Such a nice song. Very chill. And during that break, we got an email from Jade. So firstly, thanks again for sending us this great article. Jade, if any of you guys want to send us stuff, please do at triplebypass@joy.org.au. But Jade's written that everyone's experience is different and yay for all bisexual diversity. For me, it was a gradual, heartfelt, personal realisation a bit later in age that sexuality really isn't stable and there really is a whole spectrum of freedom between straight and gay. Love the show. We love you,
Thank
Jade.
Thank you, Jade.
And that's exactly like, and so you found your own Kinsey scale, Jade. We've been talking a lot about the Kinsey scale on the show tonight. Arthur Kinsey was the first, he was a scientist who basically published in 1948 a book on male sexuality and talked about the sexuality being on a spectrum between 0 and 6, 0 being entirely heterosexual and 6 being entirely homosexual, and then talking about everything that came in between. And it was the first real acknowledgement, you know, and scientific research done into this idea that sexuality comes in more than just two extremes. There's a whole lot of things that go on in the middle.
Loads of things.
So many things. Also, there's a movie apparently with Liam Neeson.
He doesn't talk to anyone on the phone and threaten to kill them.
No, but all those things that go on in the middle are what make being bi so bloody amazing.
They are. But one of the other things we've been talking about is that all these amazing things are not really talked like seen in the media, and media portrayals of minority groups help get public, like, you know, help the general public acknowledge and relate to and humanize a group that they may not actually interact with on day to day, especially bisexuals. You know, only around between 20% and 30% of bisexual people ever come out to their friends and family, let alone their colleagues and to strangers and stuff like that. So,
and we really know that that works as well. I mean, just look at the amazing strides just the past 10 years that the transgender community has made with representation on TV and
RuPaul.
It's amazing. And and Courtney and just so many wonderful people who've had a chance to really, you know, be themselves on TV and in films. And yeah, I'm really inspired by how far transgender recognition and acceptance has come in such a short time. And I think bisexuality is probably lagging behind a little bit. We're getting there. We're doing our bit.
Are we as organised? I mean, you know, you think about even just not just in sort of pop culture and what happens in music or sort of television and movies, but look at even community level, like the trans have safe schools, which there's a lot going on there.
It has been for a while.
And I just wonder about bi-inclusion and where do you even begin?
Well, yeah. Well, I think it's difficult for us to really have a whole lot of, you know, slog when most of us never come out. You know, like we can't build a community with people who don't want to have to deal with that part of their lives. And there are a whole lot of reasons that people might not want to because they don't think it's valid because it's being constantly invalidated around them. Or
maybe they are dealing with it but doing that privately.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. So I suppose they think, you know, reports say that bisexuals can make up to half of the LGBT community.
Possibly more than half.
So, you know, anywhere between 10 and 30% of the human population could be considered bisexual. Mm. And even then, I genuinely think that if society did not have heteronormativity shoved down our throats from the eight, like, you know, literally from the time that people can
as soon as you
put you
out,
in a pink
yes.
or a blue jumpsuit.
Well, we'd hear Pauline Hanson say we're at risk of being swamped by bisexuals.
That sounds like a good risk. I like that risk.
That would be great. Look, we'll take one. We're so sorry to our Muslim brothers and sisters and everyone in between as to what she's saying, but we'll take that. We'll take that. We'll happily swamp the place.
Bisexual Muslims. That sounds good.
Yeah. Well,
if you're a bisexual Muslim, send us a message.
Yes.
Everyone can send us a message. And we're also talking about some of our favourite characters. And mine was a guy who literally does sing about being bisexual on television. And it's not done, but given it comes after he's actually had to go through, it's a comedy show, but and it's lighthearted, but he has actually had to go through the turmoil of thinking he knew what his sexuality was and then actually realising it wasn't quite that straight. Mm-hmm. Forward. I'm here all week.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think we were talking as well about when you are often bisexual people will establish that they are attracted to the opposite gender before they realize that they're attracted to more than one.
Mm-hmm.
And that can make it a little more complicated. So when you do realize that you grow up to a point thinking you are, and I'm saying this word very much in the way that I thought about it as a prepubescent child and not how I see it now, normal.
Yeah.
You think you're normal.
Yes.
And then you realize that you're not quite as normal as you might have thought. And it takes a little while, I think, to process that.
It's a journey. It's a journey. And thankfully I had a brilliant therapist who was so affirming of my identity and I was able to talk about bisexuality so openly and freely. And I was able to get some rehearsal in doing that by having that therapist, honestly. So, and also I've got to thank James and the Bi Alliance because I'm finding a group where people who identified as bisexual also talked about it openly with each other. I mean, that was pretty fucking amazing.
I'd actually, again, I've mentioned this a few times, but I had had very little interaction with other people who identified as bisexual, and I had not had a whole lot of interaction with queer spaces because I had often felt that I couldn't talk about a lot of the things that I was going through because they were very different to what a lot of the lesbian women were going through. And I felt like I was not gay enough for it to be worth for me to try and use their, like, to waste their emotional energy on my shit when it seemed like what they were going through was more difficult. But as we were talking about on the show last week, there's a big study being done still in Australia on the fact on bisexual people and their mental health, because people who are attracted to more than one gender are constantly reported to have worse mental health than gay and lesbian people.
And part of that, I think, is the lack of a really recognizable community and a big recognizable identity as well.
Well, yeah, a real identity. Like people, even people who do not like and are against homosexuality and think it is a choice, like do say it exists.
Yeah. Yeah, gay people aren't normal, aren't often told that it actually doesn't exist at all. Well, though they are a bit, maybe not quite to the same extent, though.
But also, other people don't get to decide whether we are bisexual or not. And I think that's the whole thing about bi erasure, even casually in conversations about sort of trying to sort of talk about it, maybe creeping out and saying something. Just takes one non-affirming comment, one piece of discrimination to make it.
Yeah, one thing shouted out from the sidelines when you're walking in Pride Month.
Right.
See, yeah, but that's like, you know, I think we were talking about chips. That's a whole, like, that's taking a hacksaw. Like, that's something else. You don't, I do find it, I think we've all had experiences of finding that kind of hostility in unexpected places.
Yeah.
But, you know, that being said, where the things are changing, they always do, moving forward, we will overcome, yada, yada, yada. We've got a radio show now, guys.
Yeah. This is Triple Bypass. That's why we're here.
Yeah, that's right.
We're here whereby it doesn't rhyme.
Right, and we don't care.
So many things rhyme with bi, James. So many things.
One of the things that rhymes with bi.
We're nearby. We're bi. No, wait.
Well, one of the things that rhymes with bi is bye-bye. We've come to the end of the show.
No. We have. It's been great.
It's been great. We've been talking about bi crushes. We mentioned a few celebrities.
Kinsey.
Yes, Kinsey's been our greatest inspiration for tonight. Mm-hmm. So thank you for joining us. And don't forget to stick around for Miss Chantelaine coming up next with Katie Purvis featuring an interview with female duo Broads, plus heaps of excellent new folk and acoustic and pop music.
If you haven't heard that show, you should have a listen. It's some really nice chilled out tunes.
And if you did miss the show, you can catch it when we post up the podcast at joy.org.au/triple bypass.
Yeah.
And don't forget, we'll be back next week, 9 p.m. here at Joy 94.5. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air.
Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.